Welcome to the Just Pod, a podcast by the Criminal Justice Section of the ABA, the unified voice of criminal justice. Welcome to this episode of the Just Pod. Today is the bittersweet time of the year where we wish our outgoing chair well and we welcome our incoming chair. So we have Kim Parker, prosecutor from Kansas, who has been serving as our chair for the ABA year 2019 through 2020, and April Fraser Kamara, who is the chief of lifelong learning at the NLADA, the National Legal Aid and Defender Association. April is our incoming chair, both here to figuratively pass the gavel so that we can get some final reflections from Kim and get excited for this upcoming year. So we'll start with you, Kim. As you reflect on this year, there's been much more happen than any of us would have counted on. What are your thoughts as you wrap up your year as chair and pass the gavel?
Well, Emily, thank you for asking and having me on today with a woman that I admire so much and look so forward to her year as chair. April is truly an amazing person to pass the baton or the gavel to, and she will just keep this race running. For me personally, the entire year was one of the most rewarding experiences of my life. I think it was rewarding to be part of this journey that I perceive as one of perseverance. And I've said that in many other ways, other times. And that's actually how I see this 100 years of the criminal justice section is a journey of perseverance. This year, of course, was filled with some of the most shocking and disappointments about criminal justice that, as you said, you know, it's just something that can leave you sort of feeling like there is no hope. But that's not how I feel, because I was surrounded by so many individuals in the criminal justice section, members of our section, members of our council, my executive team, and the criminal justice staff who just pitched in like none other to make new things happen under some of the most extreme, unusual conditions, having to jump up and move everything to home and find new ways to communicate, new ways to better communicate. And I will have to say that April, which is, you know, good news for the future, was instrumental in making so many of those things happen and helping us as a section meet those challenges, and particularly helping me along the way. And that's why it's so rewarding. You know, with the many demands that we had, we all pushed and pulled together to bring together an enormous amount of resolutions this year to address some of the deplorable situations and events that happened, the deaths at the hands of police that have been happening for many years, but of course, the death of George Floyd before our very eyes was a situation that brought all the rest of us to our knees to think about how we need to be doing things differently. And a new awareness was brought to racial justice and racial equity in a way, in my mind, that brought a lot of enthusiasm for people to just get out of whatever place they've been in and start doing something differently and paying attention instead of just kind of moving through the motions of what we might have just accepted as our criminal justice system. One of the monumental things that happened during my year was the adoption at the annual meeting, the House of Delegates, of the new edition of the Criminal Justice Discovery Standards. And that was so important for me because it also highlighted a perseverance and reflects much of what CJS has stood for in the past, and that is trying to bring people from all sections of criminal justice practice, the academics, judges, defenders, prosecutors, and others that may work in corrections or just have an interest in criminal justice, bringing them together to look at parts of the system and develop standards. So I was part of the original Discovery Standards Task Force, and we worked for a little over 3 years to work and try to make our discovery standards something that was in keeping with the massive discovery that's coming into criminal justice cases every day. And that process then, of course, was reviewed by our Standing Standards Committee. During my chair year, we submitted it to them. They looked at it. They referred it to council. In the fall, we had our very first reading, which is a serious reading by council. Several changes were made. And then the next deliberative process was the second reading, which we accomplished virtually at our spring meeting. And still more changes were made because we brought together all these diverse voices with diverse criminal justice experiences that helped highlight the things that we needed to do or change to make the standards more meaningful. And then they were placed in front of the House of Delegates August 3rd and were adopted by them. And so once the commentary is done, they will soon be published and join all of our other important standards. And so this for me personally was a process of perseverance. Like, how do we get to a set of standards that really do something different for criminal justice? And I'm very proud that we were able to do that during my chair year because I was so personally invested in them. You know, despite some of the things that happened, we were still active in producing 13 new webinars, which were open for discussion. Not all of them were CLE, which we, of course, have been very determined to produce. The history of ABA criminal justice, we like to produce CLE webinars that are helpful to our members, but because of the pressing issues that were emerging moment to moment in the last several months, it was very important to open webinars as non-CLE so that we could have discussions so that people could continue in their learning track even though they weren't actually satisfying their own bar rules, because those who were interested in expanding their learning moments were able to take advantage of these important things. And I know I don't want to jump into April's spiel, but I can tell you again, April was very important in helping all of those webinars just get started and opening them up for discussions. And I know she has great plans for the future, and I am so excited. I know that in the baton race, I'm somewhere in the middle. And I know that April's going to bring us to the finish line. So those are some of my thoughts, Emily. Thank you.
Kim, I think as the host of the podcast, I get a chance to express some things on behalf of the section. And I won't say anything that we haven't already heard from so many of our members, but truly, it's been an extraordinary year and pushed all of us in some ways that were really challenging, and everybody has expressed a similar sentiment that you've done a really extraordinary job as well in meeting those challenges. And there's just a lot of gratitude for you and in helping all of us stay positive and stay motivated and determined to work through those things. So I think, you know, since I had the chance to be a voice, I'm sure April will echo that when she gets the chance in just a moment, but let me just also say that you've been so wonderful to work with, and we truly appreciate it. And it's not goodbye, well, obviously, because you're not going too far, but you know, wishing you well as you move into the role of immediate past chair.
Well, thank you. I want you to know that that's very humbling. And I don't intend to go anywhere because I've committed to help April as she moves forward with all these new and exciting things for our section.
Right. Well, thank you. Well, then let's go ahead and hear from her now. April, please introduce yourself to our listeners. You've been on the podcast once before, but that was in one of our earliest episodes where you and Kim were here speaking about the women's symposium that you started. But yes, please just introduce yourself. Tell us about what your priorities are coming into this year. We're excited to hear from you.
Thanks, Emily. I'm April Frazier Kamara, and for my day job, I'm a trainer for public defenders and civil legal aid attorneys, and I serve as chief of lifelong learning. And my focus is really on leadership training and transformational leadership and how we can move forward in transforming the legal system to ensure access for all people, regardless of your ability to pay. Before I joined NLADA, I worked as a public defender for 8 years, 6 years in the District of Columbia at the Public Defender Service. And for 2 years, I returned to my hometown of Shelby County, which is Memphis, Tennessee, and worked as a public defender in establishing the first holistic juvenile defense practice for the Shelby County Public Defender's Office. I'm really, really excited to serve as chair of the ABA Criminal Justice Section. And, you know, one thing I want to acknowledge is that the conversation today is historic because based on my observation of our 100-year history, this is the first time that a woman, a female chair, has passed the baton or the gavel to another female. And so I just want to acknowledge the historic nature of Kim and my bar year and what it means for the section and what it means for the American Bar Association. So I'm really excited. This year, I intend to build upon the great work that Kim has already done. I think she did an amazing job of ushering us into embracing challenges. And I think that's one of the themes for my bar year. As we celebrate the 100 years of the criminal justice section, I'm going to be calling on our colleagues to really face all of our history, which includes us taking a very deep look at issues of racial equity within the criminal legal system, but also within the American Bar Association. So as you may know, the criminal justice section, we truly are leaders in tackling issues of diversity and inclusion within the profession. And I hope to transfer that knowledge to examining some very deeply rooted issues of race within the criminal legal system. So my focus will be on racial equity, and I'm really excited. I'll be hosting a series of virtual town hall meetings, specifically on the issue of anti-Blackness within the criminal legal system, because as Kim shared with you, I think we were all shook into our core to visibly see the lynching of George Floyd and the countless others. And I don't think it is a coincidence that I'm serving as chair at this pivotal moment in history. And I hope to bring my lived experience of being raised as a Black woman in the Deep South and witnessing firsthand the racial inequities within the criminal legal system, having family members be impacted by the criminal legal system, and also my work as a public defender. And so my focus this year is to really shine a light on the role that race plays in shaping the criminal legal system. But I do that with the hope of inspiring people to hope for a better future. And I think the way that we move forward in looking at the future of criminal justice is to first reckon with our past. So I'm very excited about that. And so I will say, Kim has shown me through her courageous leadership what it means to make lemonade out of lemons. And so I intend to do that this year in our virtual space by really one of the benefits of being virtual due to COVID-19 is that I think it'll allow us to reach a far greater audience that perhaps people who haven't engaged us before. They may not be members of the ABA Criminal Justice Section, or they may have not attended our events. And so I'm excited about us introducing new people to the great work of the ABA Criminal Justice Section. And so this year, I'm really excited to be able to develop programming that will have a farther reach than we've ever had before.
You make a really great point, April. That is a wonderful message, I think, for our listeners, and one that can certainly get all of us excited for the ABA year to come as we work with you to try and make lemonade out of lemons. I love that. So it's truly been a year with some lemons, as you've both shared some really bitter lemons, if you will. So thank you so much. And now, as you're embracing this role as chair, one of the things we ask of you is to also help our listeners keep up with what's going on with the section. So we'll ask you to do that now. We have a development with our CJS Awards program. The nominations process has normally been closed. Can you fill our listeners into the recent change and why that is and what they can expect?
Absolutely. We're really excited to reopen the ABA Criminal Justice Award selection process and allow people to submit new applications for our fall awards ceremony. And the reason this is important, Emily, is because we know so many people have been impacted and distracted from COVID-19. And so we want to make sure this year that we give people a full opportunity to engage and really recognize the tremendous work of people in our community. And as we reopen the awards application, we're excited to announce the new Albert Krieger Award, which is still pending, but we hope to present the first recipient at our fall meeting. And so we invite people to check out the categories and the different awards that we are hosting, and we encourage you to nominate your colleagues, your mentors, your friends, as we look to celebrate the achievements within the criminal justice community.
Thank you. And listeners, you can find the descriptions of the awards on our awards page on our criminal justice section website. So as April said, please look at the different categories that we have available, and the nomination forms are on there as well. And the deadline is August 31st. So please submit your nominations. And if you have already submitted a nomination, please know that we still have those and those will be considered. As April said, it's just to be more inclusive given the extraordinary circumstances of the year. So speaking more to adapting to extraordinary circumstances, April, can you give us an update on the Southeastern and London White Collar Crime Institutes?
Sure. So Emily, we have made a comprehensive decision about our programming within the ABA Criminal Justice Section. Under the leadership of Kim in my incoming year, we decided that our programming for the entire 2020 calendar year would be virtual. So this year we're going to host the Southeastern White Collar Institute. It'll be virtual. We'll also be partnering to bring forth the virtual London White Collar Institute, which we're really excited about. And then the fall meeting that typically we host in Washington, D.C., will be available everywhere. And so it will be virtual as well. And during all of this programming, we hope to be able to engage new people who may not have been able to travel before and attend these events, but I think it's a great way to broaden our community. And so we're really excited about the Southeastern White Collar, London White Collar, and our fall meeting. And they'll all be made available virtually to our community.
Thank you, April. Is there anything else in sort of housekeeping that our members need to know?
Yes, thank you. One thing that I really, an important point that I wanted to make is that we invite you, both Kim and I, she mentioned earlier her agreement to stay involved in the leadership team to help me elevate the great work of our committees. So if you have any ideas around a training that you would like to do, a publication that you would like to write, we invite you to reach out to us. Kim will be leading us in our outreach to committees, because one of the beautiful things that we were able to bring forth this year was actually a connection with our committees and the valuable work that they do. And so we'll be continuing that through quarterly meetings with all of our committee chairs and also individual outreach to committee. So look forward to more information, and Kim Parker will be leading us in that charge.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for those updates. And April, you did note that you and Kim are a part of a unique moment of history in the section, and being the first time that a woman passes the gavel to another woman as chair, but another valued CJS member, Judge Bernice Donald, pointed out another moment in history that you will participate in. Judge Donald did point out that this would be the first time that we have chairs pass the gavel from an African-American chair to another, which will happen when Wayne follows you in the chair next year. So a year for history. So opportune at our 100-year mark on August 24th will be 100 years. So I think we can all agree that it is fortuitous for us to have you as our leader in this upcoming ABA year. So thank you for joining us today and introducing yourself and for giving us an update on all these programs and events within the section.
No, thank you, Emily, for inviting both Kim and I, and thank you for all of your work on behalf of the ABA Criminal Justice Section.
Thanks so much, April. And thank you again, Kim. As April said, we can look forward to hearing from you in other ways. So thanks again to you for joining us as well.
Well, thank you. I know I invite you to become part of the Criminal Justice Section if you are listening to this and are not already someone, because April's year is going to be fantastic. It's not that easy to make lemonade out of lemons. There's a lot of squeezing involved. And so she needs your help. So thank you, April, so much for taking this chair position. And we look forward to what you are about to do for us and with us.
Right. Well, thank you. And listeners, on August 24th, please watch our social media handles. We will be sharing our section's history and asking you to engage with us. We want to hear from you on priorities and criminal justice and what you think we should be focusing on as well. It's a year of vision, like we've talked about before. We've been looking backwards. We're going to be looking forward. So look to our social media on August 24th. And also on this podcast, we'll be reviewing some of our history on the podcast. You just heard our episode on the history of the standards, and there'll be more to come like that. So thank you. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of the Just Pod.